Cherry White tonight, again coming to you from Headford,
and we're back for round two. Last year we were here, and we had a tremendous night that night, and tonight's going to be no exception because we've got storytellers, singers, and musicians here gathered around in Consplan's bar on a night that's rather freezing cold outside, a real winter's night, but I'm sure that for a start, our musicians are going to warm the night up. So away you go. Joe Crowley, also Patrick Doyle, and not forgetting Derry Healy on the guitar as well. You're all very welcome to join us. A rather cold evening, gentlemen.
It is.
It sure is. So how have you been keeping, Joe?
I know, to ask it.
Yes?
Yeah, right.
Have you been playing over Christmas?
All the time, yeah.
All the time. You didn't stop since we spoke to you last.
No.
I wonder if the same go for Patrick here. How are you, Patrick?
All things, Sean.
Very well. And how about yourself? You're gigging a lot around, are you?
Yeah, now and then, Sean, whenever we get the chance.
Of course. Are they all good dancers here in Consplan's?
They're very good, aren't they, Sean? Especially when it comes to our closing time.
Is that when they start?
That's when they start.
So, Derry, you're welcome to join us. Thank you for getting this group together tonight.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean. Thanks very much.
You have a wonderful group of people I know together. Who have we got in all here? Any special guests here this evening?
We have a lot of people that I suppose, married out of the parish or the area that are living in Killarney. They're back here tonight and living. We have a man back from Australia, believe it or not, for the specially drawn in for the show. With the Tim Kelly and Jim Kelly there. We have Murchie, we have Timmy Healy and Bridie. We have Abby Crowley, Derry Crowley, Larry Donovan, not forgetting the boat milk.
Oh, yes, Larry with the goat's milk. Well, he's here again tonight. He's somewhere here. I see him down here on my left-hand side.
And Thomas Daly there as well, and Peter Kelleher.
Well, I think we'll start with one of the boys, and we'll have a little chat with him. We might go to that man there that's from Australia. Is that right? He was away in Australia for a number of years, and I'm told that he also does a little bit of sailing in his spare time. Would I be correct there? Okay, Michael, over to you. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah. What's the thing we hear about sailing and boats and all of that?
Oh, well, I went to Australia by boat. It took 28 days from Tilbury Docks to Melbourne. 28 days. It took 30 days from Headford here.
Yeah. Of course, that was in the days of travel by sea, right, when we didn't have planes and all of that. So this is the boat. You show me a photograph of the boat. What was the name of the boat?
The Arcades.
And this sailed from where, did you say?
Tilbury Docks in London.
In London?
Yep.
And how did you get to London from Headford?
I got the train to Dublin, yeah. and the boat across to London on the train then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And was there any boats going?
My brother Dennis was with me.
Was there any boats going from the Cork region at the time?
No. No big boats, no.
So that was your time on the sea?
Yep, 28 days from Tilbury Docks to...
So how long are you back home then again?
I come back July 12 months. And I left here in March 1955.
And did you return at any point during those years?
I did. I was back a few times, yes.
Yeah. I'm sure that you've seen the huge changes here in the Killarney region over the past 20, 30, 40 maybe years. And did they take you back?
Yes, there is big changes even in the past 10 years. There's houses growing, going up everywhere. Very much so. Big changes.
So you think we've got a very prosperous country now?
Well, I should think so. Everybody seemed to be going well, driving cars and drinking plenty of Guinness and everything. They seem to be happy.
Was that the reason that you came back and you saw things going so good here?
Oh, and actually, a sister-in-law was sick. My wife's sister was very ill, and we come back to look after her for a while, but unfortunately, she had passed away in the meantime.
So are you home for good now?
Well, Carrie, directly speaking, that's a very hard question to answer at this point in time.
So you're not too sure exactly if you're going to stay around for the fun and the crack?
Well, when you're used to travelling, the travelling bug is in you, you know.
So you think you might take off again?
Well, I'd go for a holiday anyway, maybe sell up and go for good, I don't know.
Yeah, but not by boat, though.
Oh, no.
Lovely having you. Give me a nice round of applause. Thank you. Thank you. Tom Daly is next on the programme. Tom, good evening to you. How are you?
Not too bad at all, John.
You're going to sing a little song for me, I believe.
I will try one anyway, sure.
What's the name of this one?
Well, seeing that the night is cold, you say I'd sing this one anyway. Put more turf in the fire, Mary Ann.
All right.
Put more turf on the fire, Mary Ann. Oh, the weather is dreary and cold. Put on a big sod, Mary Ann. We're both going weary and old. We'll talk of old times, Mary Ann. And the troubles in life we've been through, they can turn the whole world upside down, Mary Ann. But we'll never change my love for you, Mary Ann. But we'll never change my love for you. Oh, my name, it is Mickey Maloney, from the village of Mullinahone. It was there that I first met my darling, that I really can now call my own. For she lives with her father and mother in a cottage way down by the hill. And wherever on earth I may wander, I will think of that darling spot still. Put more turf on the fire, Mary Ann. Oh, the weather is dreary and cold. Put on a big sod, Mary Ann. We're both going weary and old. We'll talk of old times, Mary Ann, and the troubles in life we've been through. They can turn the whole world upside down, Mary Ann. But will never change my love for you, Mary Ann. But will never change my love for you. I remember the day long ago, love, we walked down the shady boreen, and you whispered sweet words of love in my ear as we sat by the murmuring stream. And we watched the blue smoke as it curled in the air from your father's mud cabin down by. And we vowed we would always be true, love, and that you would always be mine. Put more turf on the fire, Mary Ann. Oh, the weather is dreary and cold. Put on a big sod, Mary Ann. We're both going weary and old. We'll talk of old times, Mary Ann, and the troubles in life we've been through. They can turn the whole world upside down, Mary Ann, but we'll never change my love for you, Mary Ann. But we'll never change my love for you.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you indeed. Thank you. I would like like to say hello very special to Marie O'Connor of Ballinskellig, and this comes in with best wishes to you, Marie, from your friend there in Ballinskellig. Nelly O'Keefe of Drom Headford, happy Mother's Day to you from your son Michael and grandchildren and daughter-in-law there as well. Hello to Cathy O'Donoghue now, who may be listening into the programme in Douai. Cathy, happy Mother's Day to you from Emily, Rachel, Shane and everyone else in New Jersey. And that came in from Shane O'Donoghue there. Now, we have plenty of requests on the program tonight, and we're trying to keep them as limited as possible because we are really packed up with our Hertford program tonight, and I know you'll excuse me for saying that. It's 8:15. We take a break. We now feature the very young and talented Glenflesk Ballad Group, and they comprise of Joanne and Maury Cashman, Michelle O'Callaghan, Orla O'Brien, and Joanne Moynihan. Here they are now to sing this for me called Home Away From Home. Okay, with me now, I've got Dan Warren. The last time we were here recording, some time back, Dan was missing for a very good reason. He was taking a break, and he was out in a beautiful spot called Lanzarote. Dan, my first question to you, how did you enjoy it?
It was marvelous.
And was it your first time there?
It was, yes, indeed, yeah. Yeah. It was.
And did you go alone?
Oh, no, I had a good gang with me. There's one of them down there in the corner, Johnny Courtney, could tell you more about it.
What was your first impressions of Lanzarote?
Fine weather and plenty beer and good crack.
Is that what Johnny went out there for as well, I wonder?
I'd say, no, it was in his mind all right, yeah.
So did you get up early in the morning, by the way, when you were there, or do you stay in bed and relax?
Well, we were up early in the morning, right, Johnny, yeah, but the fact that we were up early in the morning is because we hadn't gone to bed since the night before.
I suppose you got a few hours sleep, though, didn't you, at some point?
Ah, we used to get a few hours, all right, in the middle of the day. After the breakfast in the morning, we used to go to bed for a few hours.
Was it changed over to the euro then, or was it still in pesetas?
No, it was changed over to the euro, yeah.
How did you find the value there in Lanzarote, by the way?
Very good indeed, yeah, very good.
You could eat pretty reasonably there, I thought.
Oh, indeed you could, yeah, you get a great meal there for 10 euros, that well, I don't know, yeah. We're even getting old pints on in, which is some places even.
Would you? And what bar would you get the old pints from in, tell me?
Well, there was a few good Irish bars there.
What's that?
That was that when Johnny there. Murphy's is right, yeah. That was very good there, yeah. And that was good pub there as well, good bacon and cabbage and all that there, yeah.
Did you go to Old Town?
We did, Fat. We did. Yes.
And when you went to Old Town, where in Old Town did you go to? Will I go back to Johnny for this one?
Huh? We went out in that boat there, you know, we'd go under the water and we'd see the fish and all that. That was the
glass-bottom boat, and that was a beautiful little one. There was a bar in that one as well, wasn't there?
Oh, indeed there was, then, yeah. There was. It was a small bar, but it was plenty big enough for us.
Have you got a recitation?
Yeah, I could chance one, I suppose, yeah. I could.
What is it?
You know, I'll know it well. Most people call it Moriarty, but I call it Moriarty, best it's easier to say it.
All right, where you go?
In a little pub in London, Moriarty drank his beer, and he recited wondrous stories of his exploits far and near. Then an Irish song, said Kelly, best of all the one and all. Moriarty sang for them the hills of Donegal. There was cheering at the finish, and they called and core, but Moriarty told them, lads, I can't sing any more. As he stood there, sad and silent, gazing down into his beer, in the twinkle of his eye was the starting of a tear. Are you going home for Christmas? The friendly barmaid said. Moriarty fixed his gaze on her and slowly shook his head. Sure, I haven't been to Ireland now for 20 years or more. My poor mother wouldn't know me if I walked up to the door. I was born, said Moriarty, on an island in the west. The last place God created, but the first place that he blessed. We were poor, but we were happy in our simple little way. God, I wish I was a lad again, whistling there today. My father, that God be good to him, was drowned one woeful night. My mother left her lonesome with me to walk and fight. So with Jimmy Moore, McCarthy, and Donald Rocher, I came across to England then to earn an honest pay. I promised to my mother I'd soon be home again, but the curse of drink came on me and enslaved me in its chains. So I haven't seen my mother now, it's 20 years or more. She's still beyond there waiting for my footsteps at the door. Then someone started singing, see amidst the winter snow, 'twas like an old bell ringing far away and long ago. And as Moriarty listened, he pushed his glass away, and he made a solemn promise he'd be home for Christmas Day. So he gathered every penny he could get into his hand, and coming up to Christmas, he sailed for Ireland. His heart was softly singing, and he felt content and blessed as the train rolled through the Midlands and brought him to the west. In the village of Kilsheila that night upon the shore, he could see across the waters dark his island home once more. The stars were shining brightly, and the brightest on the door seemed to hang above the island, calling Moriarty home. 'Tis a grand night for the crossing, said the boatman Thomas Bond. Moriarty didn't know him. 'Twas a lifetime since he'd gone. But as he stepped into the boarding, in, the boatman heard him say, glory, glory, God of heaven, I'll be home for Christmas Day. But in a lodging house in London, Moratti's poor abode, on the table in the hallway, this message went untold. The message said this morning, your poor mother, she passed away, and she'll be buried in Kilsheila after Mass on Christmas Day. That's it, John.
Thank you to Dan Warren. Thank you. I want to go to another Dan now, Dan Lawler. How are you, Dan?
Too well, John, son.
Are you keeping well and the good lady still with you, I see?
Yeah, that's right. That's right, indeed.
How is she this evening? How are you?
Very good, thanks.
Now, so, how are things over the past couple of months since we met you last year?
Yeah, not too bad at all, Sean. No, I suppose quiet, like.
Yes.
But yeah, but things are not too bad at all.
I see. Now, I know the Shames is playing still excellently in the football fields of the country at the moment.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And he's well in.
He seems to be.
Great. Any old story for us tonight?
I haven't any story.
Any old song for us tonight?
I'll sing a song, all right. I will.
And what are you going to sing for me now?
I'll sing a song, but I might be able to think of it all. I don't know.
That's all right.
I hope I will anyhow. Oh, Mother O'Gra, I'm leaving you now to the war I am forced to go. To fight for the sake of my country so dear, where the pretty tree Shamrock grows. 'Tis sorry I am to be leaving you now, but you know I'll return once more. When the fighting is done and the battle won in Kilkenny by the north. These were the words he said to her as the tears came softly down his cold, pale cheeks as he turned around to go. Then swiftly he turned around about and down through the opening door. And he heaved a sigh as he bade goodbye to Kilkenny by the north. The months drew along, and one by one fell those heroes so brave and true. Yet no word of the son to the mother came from the lines where the bullets flew. Yet ever she prayed for the one who has strayed, yes, prayed he return once more. When the fighting was done and the battle won in Kilkenny by the north, the pale moon shone on a battlefield where a battle was fought and won. The wild birds flew o'er the wounded below who'd ne'er see tomorrow's sun. And there in the light of that moonlight night a dying soldier lay. And his comrades grew round as he lay on the ground, and his words he at length did say. Will you tell my mother I fought and fell as a brave soldier may? With a picture pressed close to my bleeding breast, as my life's blood was ebbing away. Oh, tell her that home I shall ne'er again roam, I'll ne'er see her face anymore. Or the home that I loved when childhood I played in Kilkenny by the north. Then slowly and softly they laid him down in the field where he fought and fell. No tombstone now marks his narrow grave, his life or his deeds to tell. And there, forgotten, he sleeps his last sleep, neath the shamrock he fought for of yore. Except for the one who prays for him still in Kilkenny by the north.
Good man, thank you very much.
There you had him. That's Seamus Moynihan's dad, by the way, singing there, better known as Dan Lawler, in that particular part of our county. We now take a break.
Barry Healy, you had a song that you mentioned to me off air some time ago. The song is a tribute to those who died in the Stardust fire in Dublin back in the early 80s. Will you have the words of that tonight for us?
I chance them.
Will you chance it?
Okay. I'll just get
in your own good time.
A St. Valentine's Day comes around once a year. Our hearts turn to love as the time draws near. Mothers and fathers and husbands and wives place love and devotion for the rest of their lives. As the day turns to evening, soon nighttime does fall. The young ones get ready for the Valentine's ball. As the night rings with the laughter, some families soon mourn. The 48 children who never came home. And 'twas down to the Stardust they all made their way. The bouncers looked on as they lined up to pay. The records were spinning, there was dancing as well. Just how the fire started, sure, no one could tell. In a matter of seconds, confusion had reigned. The room was in darkness, fire exits were chained. The firefighters wept because they could not hide the sorrow and the anger for those left inside. Have we forgotten the suffering and the pain, the survivors and the victims of the fire in our tent? The mothers and fathers forever to mourn, the 48 children who never came home. Throughout the city the bad news had spread, there's a fire in the Stardust, there's 48 dead. Hundreds of children are injured and maimed, all just because the fire exits were chained. Our leaders were shocked, grim statements were made. They shed tears by the graves as the bodies were laid. The injured have waited in vain for some years. It seems like our leaders cried crocodile tears. Have we forgotten the suffering and the pain, the survivors and the victims of the fire in our tent? The mothers and fathers forever to mourn, the 48 children who never came home. Half a million was paid in solicitor fees, a fortune for the owner and his family. It's hard to believe that not one penny came to the working class people who suffer the pain. The days turn to weeks and the weeks turn to years. Our laws favor the rich, or so it appears. A mother still waits for five kids to come home. Our injustice frees anger for what has been done. Have we forgotten the suffering and the pain, the survivors and the victims of the fire in our tent? The mothers and fathers forever to mourn, the 48 children who never came home.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Jimmy Cronin, welcome to you. Somebody said to me earlier tonight when I came in that you might have a little poem for us tonight.
Well, I'll have something for you. It's called The Papist and the Proud. It comes out of Belfast. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised in Sandy Row, a Lyle also proud, and I stood for good King Billy, that noble man of God. My motto, no surrender. My flag, the Union Jack. Not equal, I proudly marched if any, and back. A loyal son of Ulster, true blue, that was me. Prepared to fight, and prepared to die for faith and liberty. As well as that an Enfield man as anyone can mind. I had no time for Catholics or any of that kind. Till one night, down in Bangor, I met with Rosie Green. And the moment I set eyes on her, I knew she was my queen. And when I found she fancied me, my mind went all abuzz, and I clean forgot to ask her what her religion was. So next time we met, I told her, I'm a pretty staunch and true. She said, I'm a Catholic, and I'm just as staunch as you. The words were harsh and bitter when suddenly like this the centuries of hatred were forgotten in a kiss. I knew our love would bring us only trouble and distress, but nothing in this whole wide world would make me love wee Rosie less. I saved me a bit of money as quickly as I could, and I asked her if she'd marry me, and God, she said she would. And then the troubles really started. Her folks weren't even mad. When mine heard about it, they were twice as bad. My father said from that day on he'd hang his head in shame, and by his strange coincidence, her father said the same. My mother cried her eyes out, and she said I'd rue the day that I'd let a papish hussy steal my little heart away. Rosie's mother said when she recovered from the blow that she'd rather have all Nick himself than a man from Sandy Row. We were married in the papist church the other side of town. Well, that's how Rosie wanted it, and I couldn't let her down. But the priest was nice to me and made me feel at home. I think he pitied both of us. Our families didn't come. The room we were to live in had nothing but walls. It was far away from Sandy Row and farther from the falls. But that's the way we wanted it, for both of us knew well that back among the crowd we knew, our lives would just be hell. But life out there for Rosie was lonely, I well knew, for like many couples like us, we had our religious differences too. At dinner time that Friday, when Rosie gave me a fish, I looked her squarely in the eye and I said, that's not my dish. I mind well what she said to me. You have to pay some price. And to eat fish on a Friday is a poor wee sacrifice to make for Christ who died for us on a Friday long ago. Anyway, I ate the fish and it wasn't bad, you know. And then Sunday came and I lay on when Rose got up at 8. But she turned to me and she said, come on, get up, you'll be late. You got your own church to go to and that's where you should be. So up you get this minute and you'll be part of the road with me. We left the house together and parted down the line and she went off to her church and I went off to mine. But all throughout that service, although we were apart, I felt as if we were worshipping and praying as with one heart. The weeks and the months went quickly by, and then there came the day when Rosie up and told me that child wasn't away. We went down on our knees that day. We asked the Lord above to grant our child two gifts alone, tolerance and love. We wrote and told the parents, for they never used to call, and we thought it might soften them, and faith they didn't all. First my mother and then Rosie said they'd visit us in turn, and we marveled at the power of a weak child not yet born. Ah, but we were disillusioned when we found out where they came, for trying to be friendly or to make it up again. That child must be a Catholic, says Rosie's mother. No, the child must be a prod, says mine. The rows before the wedding were surely meek and mild compared to all the ructions that was roused about our child. From all sides of the family, insults and threats were hurled. Oh, what a way to welcome a wee angel to the world. The child must be a Catholic. No, the child must be a prod. But the last and the loudest voice I heard was the mighty voice of God, and to its awful wisdom I had to bow my head. 1 hour after it was born, our poor wee child was dead. That night, I sat by Rosie's side, and just before the dawn, I kissed her as she left me to join her angel son. And now my loyal heart was broken within those lonely walls. Where the hell's the Shankill and where the hell's the Falls? But that was many years ago. Long years of grief and pain when I'd have given all I had to see her face again. But my loneliness is over now. I'll be seeing her soon, I know, for the doctor told me yesterday that I hadn't long to go. And when I go up yonder, they let me in, I hope. But if they ask me who I'm for, King Billy or the Pope, I'm going to take no chances. I'll tell them straight and fair that I'm a loyal Ulster Protestant who loved the Papisher. And somehow or another, I know they'll let me through. Rose will be waiting there, our little angel too. And then the child will take us together, the Papist and the Prod, and lead us up the golden steps into the house of God.
Nice. Thank you very much, Jimmy Crone. Thank you.
Yes, the most touching piece there from Jimmy Cronin. Hello to Albina O'Leary now from Ratmore. Happy Mother's Day to you from Timmy, and not forgetting Breda and Brian there. Now, congratulations to Siobhan McKillicuddy of Honor Block of Cumann, a silver medal winner today, I'm told, in the All-Ireland Championships, 600 metres. And I know that Siobhan runs there with the Guineguilla Club. Congratulations again to you, this time from Moraid. Now, I'm looking for a song. I'm not too sure can we get it or not. And this is in relation, I suppose, to the Killarney region. The song is called, I'll take a line from it in actual fact, "And I Left My Lovely Molly in the Gap of Sweet Dunloe." Now, that was sung one time by the Dramatic Society in Killarney, you know, and the singer's name was Andy Frieden. He used to sing it at those functions quite a lot. He was with the Drama Society in the Spa. Now, if anyone out there may have the words of that, could you please ring us in, please? Thank you very much. We'll take a break here.
There's an unusual...
This is Radio Kerry, your voice in the kingdom.
Dr. Brady O'Shea here. Brady, you're very welcome to join us. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Sean.
Who found who around here, tell me? Did you find him or he found you? What was...
Oh, I think I found him, all right.
Did he come out to see you? Was that his?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I think we met in Barrow Hall. Yeah.
And originally, you'd be from here, would you?
You're... I'm met for just...
Down the road.
Derry's aunt.
So, Bridie, can you recall the younger pastimes you had, or maybe when you were young yourself, what you did? The nearest dance hall was where?
Packy Riches, in Baradov.
Out in Baradov, yeah.
So, what we used to, in the winter time, like, we'd be saying now, we'd be going to house dances just over the road now from Hetford, like, you know. That's where we'd spend all our nights nearly during Lent and that, you know. But because there was nothing here at that time, 50 years ago, we were, this is a long time ago.
Do you regularly come back here now?
Oh, we do. Yeah. We do. Should see to come out here. Yes.
Just out the road.
That's right.
Just out the road. So Mort used to travel out this direction to meet you?
Oh, yes, yes.
I'm going to go to Mort because he's staying very quiet here. Mort, how are you? You travelled out to meet the lovely lady in Baradof Hall.
I don't know, Sean. We travelled somewhere anyway. We had our mail train coming out that time at 7:30. They just come out here to stop at Hedford, the station. There was station here that time, was it?
That's right,
yeah. And we're going back again at 11 o'clock. If we had a face with 2 pints, we called in here to go Jim Spillane and Babbittsville here that time.
Of course, the train was handy. That was the transport.
The train was handy, yeah. It was 7:30 train that time come out and to be going in again at 10:30, 11 o'clock that night, so...
Yeah, from Hedford, that's right. Bright, that wouldn't have given you much time for canoodling.
No, that's true.
Of course, then again, that wasn't heard of in your day.
Not at all. Not a hope.
You were all good-living people.
Well, we were definitely hard-working.
Yeah, hard work. And the romance came later then.
Oh, it did.
That was it.
We did, we did.
Thank you very much for being on our program, Bridie and Mort. Oh, this is Timmy, is it?
Yeah.
How are you, Timmy?
I'm good. Well, I'm not great. Like, I got a stroke there about 3 years ago.
Right.
And that one side of me kind of affected.
Right.
And I managed you well, though. I managed to walk downtown, there were a few pints.
Yeah. And they're taking care of you and all that, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I looked after well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
So once you can get out for the few pints, you're happy?
Oh, I'm very happy. I can move around the town, yeah. Meet a few of the old friends.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
And you come down here that's very often?
That's about football.
Yeah.
I will come out fairly often. Yeah. We do. When if there's anyone at home, like Roddy or Seamus or some of the lads that's down in Hedford,
yes,
we come out.
Great. That's as the fellow says, keep going.
Oh, carry on.
Carry on. That's great. Thank you very much for being with us. Andrew McCarthy, how are you?
Not too bad, Sean.
Good.
And yourself?
Any old scale tonight for us?
No, not any great story at all tonight. You know, they haven't. No, time of the year, I suppose, just cold. And I suppose very few people would find some way of filling a pub on Ash Wednesday night. And it is interesting that, you know, there's such a good crowd here. And I think that the bar here and Consplan always is a very good host. The people here, I think you could travel the length and breadth of the country and you won't meet a friendlier type of people than the people you'll meet here. And there's always a great camaraderie and a great crack here. And, you know, it's great to see the people who have moved away a number of years ago back and enjoying and settling in, you know, very easily into the company and can pick up where they left off and meet old friends. I think that, you know, typifies the whole Hedford area in that it's a very good place to live. It's a good, very good place to be from. You know, there's a great kinship among the people in the area. And there's always a good friendliness and a good rapport between the people, and I think they look out for one another.
Yeah, Andrew, I know that you are very, very familiar with the Hedford region, of course, being brought up here and all that. What was industry like when you were young, or was there any around here?
The main, I think, employers around here that people depended on when I was younger growing up was you had a lot of work in the creamery. The Dairy Disposal Board was very strong in Rathmore and the surrounding area. You had the branch creameries, and a lot of people worked in those. And then you had Cadbury's going very strong. Strong in Rathmore, and indeed in my younger days Liebers had been picking up in Killarney, and that provided an awful lot of work. Then equally you had a certain amount of growth in Killarney, and you had the building industry, and you know you had the Kelly brothers that were referred to earlier. A good lot of my neighbours like Tim Owen Mine and D. Leary, who would be a first cousin of Jim's, worked for the Kellys at the time, and you know that provided very valuable work and was a very valuable source of employment. Equally for people in the area, you know, forestry was an important outlet for work, Kerry County Council for outdoor workers. These were all sources of very valuable and gainful employment in the area when I was growing up and a young person.
You mentioned there the creamery. Of course, the creameries, I won't say it went out of business, but things slowed down quite a lot in years there, didn't they?
Well, the situation with the creameries, it has transformed completely. The whole industry has transformed completely. I mean, farming has changed, and, you know, it seems to be going towards bigger farmers and bigger units for production the whole time. You know, while you lost in the branch creameries around the county, you had significant gains then, the likes of growth of employment in Kerry Ingredients and Listowel. That type of situation is a phenomenon that's, you know, happening in the food industry throughout the world, and it's not just confined to Ireland. And unless alone that farmers are encouraged maybe to develop small niche cottage type industries, the likelihood is that you will see further decline, particularly because of the Fischler proposals in agriculture in the area, and that could have significant effects for the whole economy of the area. Another very important player in terms of employment and the community here around was St. Finian's Hospital in Killarney. Good many people from the Hedford area, indeed Michael Mining was referred to earlier, worked there for many years. A good many people from the Hedford, Barrowdove, Rathmore, Kinnegwilla and Knockmore area worked in St. Finian's Hospital, and that was a very valuable source of employment to people from this area as well.
That's right. And of course, one cannot forget the Pretty Polly factory in Killarney as well, because that had employment from all over the county.
I was a small bit older when Pretty Polly came on stream. Indeed, I worked in Pretty Polly for 5.5 years myself before I took up work in Tralee. And that made a huge, significant social change in that it also kept women and girls from the area working in the area. Traditionally, a lot of these might have gone to London Dublin for work or gone to Dublin for work, and it meant that the whole fabric of the society in East Cowie changed, in that you had people marrying, you had young people starting, you had young people going to the schools again, and that for over 30 years provided a hugely significant input into the whole region of East Cowie. Indeed, you know, I mean, you had buses travelling from Castle Island, Knocknagree, Rathmore, Gavin, all the way into Killarney, and that was very significant.
Yes, and of course that is something that hopefully, it's sadly is slipping, all right, but points out one thing though, you have to have industry, don't you?
I think you have to have industry. If you have to have a community in the area of Killarney Town and the surrounding area, you have to have industry, you have to have work for people. You need to have work, people need to have an outlet, they need to be able to earn a living. And, you know, it's vitally important that whatever industry we have, whatever work we have, is nurtured and kept and grown in the area so that we will have a community going forward.
Yes, and everybody benefits from that.
Everybody, everybody.
Okay. Andrew McCarthy, thank you for being with us. Connie Doherty. Connie, how are you? You're well tonight.
Thank you.
What would you like to do for us now?
Well, I'll tell you, I suppose there's a few of us kind of getting old around here, and the longest memory in my head and a young lad was I played centre field with Timmy Healy.
Timmy Healy?
Yeah, I had a short pants and he had a long pants. There was no tags or nothing at that time.
Yes.
So that's good memory. And I see him playing wing back for Kerry in the National League above in Cork. And the first thing he'd done when he walked out in the field was he gave old man a tip across the shoulder. But tonight is the occasion it is. I'll give you the 59 All-Ireland final because it is a great era for football from Timmy Healy and Paddy Healy and Derry and Seamus and John and all. So if I didn't sing the song with a good bit, but I'd give it to you today.
All right.
The month it was September and 59 the year when Kerry and Galway clashed to make the verdict clear. From quality between the stakes to the tiger line, Kevin Coffey, centre back, with Mick Dwyer he joined. And now Sean Murphy coming up, the best man of the wee. That football player who fought so fair for Kerry's golden green. We had Mick O'Connell, centre field, Villancha pride and joy. With dashing Seamus Murphy, that ball was Kerry boy. Tom Long was a hero brave on the great kingdom team. For Dingletown he won renown in Kerry's golden green. Dave Geaney from beside the main, he played a true man's part. With his partner Paddy Shee, full many a move did start. That caused a stop to the worry for the gallant Galway team, who failed to catch outplay the match of Kerry's golden green. And now we come to McAuliffe Dan, the boy from Sweet Dua, with the boots to shoot full many a goal, and points as well we saw. 'Twas in that game he gained great fame, and seldom has there been such a forward player to do or dare for Kerry's golden green. When Gary McMahon came on the scene, he scored a gallant goal. It was crashed to the net with rocket force by the lad from Gaelisdole. He ran rings round the Galway backs along with Tighe Lyne, and they won the All-Ireland final for 1959.
All right, Con, that was lovely. Fine old song, and in tribute, of course, to the Kerry team of long ago.
Yes. Well, you see, the thing about it, they were the great teams of that time.
That time, yeah.
That time. because you had Stockwell and Purcell playing that team with Galway, and they were the twins. They called those the twins. And, I mean, when you put down the twins of the Galway that team, it was a great Kerry team. So all the younger crowd think the present and the past, but they were a great team with the likes of Micheál Connell.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Derry Crowley is with us as well, of course. Derry, would you agree with him there on that?
Oh, certainly, Sean. I played with Micheál Connell and Micheál Dwyer myself, of course, but they were a few years older than me, all right. I'm glad to be here tonight and to welcome particularly Timmy Healy, because he was a selector on the Kerry team when I started to play first. And I can always remember we going to Dublin in the car, Micheál Dwyer and McConnell used to pick us up in Killarney, and they'd have already picked up Murt Kelly and Beaufort, and between Timmy and Murt Kelly, you certainly wouldn't miss the road to Dublin with the Yardens. That have they were wonderful men to have known, and I certainly appreciated what they did for me in my earlier days anyway.
That's the man over there that helped you onto the Kerry team.
Timmy there, that got me started in my earlier days. Timmy was a selector with Kerry at that particular time.
You know, I think I'll go back to him and we'll have a chat.
Yes.
Timmy, we want to go back to you and talk to you about this man, this young man that you brought onto the Kerry team. What attracted you to him at the time?
They were great lads, like, you know. You know, Derry, you know, and we had a great under-21. Kevin Dunhoe, he captained the Kerry under-21. And that was the start of the four in a row they were beaten in the fifth. Mm-hmm. They were all great men. I was a selector in the Kerry team as well that time. Myself and Joe Cahan, Mutt Kelly, Johnny Welch and Father Curtin. We were the five selectors.
Who was the trainer at that time, Timmy?
Roundy Lans was the trainer for that. Dr. Eamon was mostly. Johnny Culty, of course, trained him during Derry's time.
Derry, that was Johnny was training you, was it?
Johnny was training in my time. It was originally Jackie Lyne initially, and then Johnny took over around 1973, I think.
Of course, Dr. Eamon goes back further, doesn't he?
I was never with Dr. Eamon. That was back in Timmy's time. Of course, Timmy was a great player himself, and of course, his father won two All-Irelands with Kerry back in 13 and 14. You know, Timmy's father, I suppose, was Paddy Healy, because he began the football in this area. It was known as Headford that time, where Glenn Fresno, of course, and he allowed the use of his own field below, alongside the house. I never played. I played there, all right, but I think the real games was in my father's time. I always hear him talking about. They was called it Haley's Field at that time.
Haley's Field.
Yeah.
Okay, Timmy, Haley's Field there.
Oh, yes. My father was in the All-Ireland in 2013 and 14, and they dug up all stones in the field and levelled it out and all. You know, the fields weren't very big below around Headford. So they made a football field out of it.
And I suppose they imagined to score part, did they?
A good one was, the young boys were starting to go away because there was a dance hall opened on a Sunday evening in Bernadigue, about a mile from Barradover, 2 miles. And in order to stop the youth from going dancing, they built a platform in the field. I don't know whether Derry remembers it, net, but I saw his father there.
Yes.
Lord Mercy John Crowley. And they paid fourpence each to the musician to make up a couple of bob for him to play.
I see.
And see what they keep doing for from going to Ballinadeg. Sure, they might as well be idle.
I know Derry was probably very young at that point in time. Do you remember that field? No.
I don't remember the dancing, but that was just a bit before my time. But it is wonderful that they began all that time. And, of course, that brought it on to the newer era then, when Seamus captained and brought the Sam Maguire Cup to here to our own place. That was a wonderful occasion. But it all began back in them years by by Paddy Haley and all the people who carried it on after that. And we'll be hoping in the future, because there's a very good club here, that we'll have other players to continue the thing on, because time rolls on, everyone gets old, and you're always depending on the youth. I'd just like to say one other thing. When you were talking there, as you had there with Timmy and the lads, I remember, because Jim Kelly and Tim are here tonight, the first pair of football boots that I got were bought by Dan Kelly. He was a big contractor in England at the time, and he came over here and he bought a pair of football boots for the whole club. He bought 20 pairs of football boots, which was a most unusual thing that him, and we were all very glad of it, because I hadn't any. I was about 16 or 17 at the time. I was only dependent on my brothers to hand me down the boots and things like that. And there are certain things you'll always remember, but I always remember that. I remember another occasion when we played in New Eltham in London. I was about 22 or 3 maybe at the time. I think the wages here around that time, I think I had something like £3.50 a week, just to put it in context. I was at the match in New Eltham in London. I think Dan Kelly was there, and Neil Kelly and Jerry Kelly was over at that time as well. And he put something into my top pocket, but when I went home, I found a £10 sterling in it, which was the equivalent of about 3 weeks' wages. So if any fella got 3 weeks' wages, he said, have a drink with that. You'd have a good few drinks.
That was wonderful.
But it was wonderful. He was a wonderful man and a wonderful help to the club here. He had wonderful interest in football, of course, and I'm quite sure he was delighted to be able to meet someone from home or from his own place to continue the tradition.
Yeah, and that story about the football bus that you received was tremendous.
That was tremendous at that particular time,
because I knew a lot of young fellas around the same time, and they never had a pair of football boots unless they borrowed them.
Yeah, because you're correct there. I remember playing below in Farmer's Field. We were called at the Lynn one day, and we were shot a pair of football boots for one of the lads, and one of the lads played with the right foot, and a left-footed fella played with the left foot. They divided the two boots and played away. I think Larry Donovan, in actual fact, the man you were interviewing, could have been playing the same day with me. I think we were sitting on the feet together.
Well, I suppose Derry
was a good footballer, along with being a good comedian, you know.
I said, Derry, looking at Larry, he'd chance anything.
Oh, he would chance anything, yeah. Too true, Sean. Yeah. Too true, Sean.
Yes, we'll join the crack and the fun again in Headford in a little while. Now, hello to Joan Kennedy, who is resident back to our Headford programme tonight from Conspillans there. Next, we're going to still stay with Derry Crowley, and this time we're talking about football boots again and all of that.
So, did you ever come across the fellow that we say played a game of football in his Sunday shoes?
Not so much the Sunday shoes, but you'd have plenty of fellas playing in their strong boots, of course. Yes. Yeah, yeah. And like Connie Doughty said, in a long pants, that was not unusual at all at that particular time, because the people, they just hadn't the money for these things at that time. Like, younger fellas today couldn't really understand that type of thing, because every young fella today has the best of boots, and we have the best of facilities, the best of fields and dressing rooms and everything in every club now. There's a fierce change, of course, in times, and that's only all for the good, and I hope it continues for the better in the future.
Yeah. I mean, you got Connie Doherty there again. Connie, I suppose the football fields long ago, they wouldn't be half as good as they are nowadays. You know, you remember fellas playing, I suppose, up their extras in muck and everything.
I remember when there was be kicking around, often even around our own place, it was all strong nail boots they had. In that fella might have a pair of old torn Wellingtons, and in that fella try off his good shoes and play barefooted. But at that time, you know, as Derry talking there about football, I remember we won the Dr. O'Donoghue Cup in 1963. I'm saying Ratmore now. And the following Sunday, I played over with Ballydaly over in Mill Street. And I played under the name of Noel C. Duggan.
You were under a big name today.
So the rules were very, very scarce at him. Yeah. I mean, when you look back at Seal, that's why people had nothing else to do that time on here. They admired all the county men from Paddy Healy's time. When the Bomber Liston came up then, God, there was youngsters coming from all over when they'd be after winning Ireland, you know, the Atlantic Killarney to see them.
and all those gentlemen, they'd all talk to the youngers, which meant a lot to youngers that time. But the changes are there in football. But as Derry said there, tis the older crowd that built the football, the GA up along. You see, tis all big stuff today, but at that time, I'll tell you this one before I go for me. I went piking here to this farmer one time at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I said to him that I'd have to go on the evening. We were playing a match over near Mallee in Cashel Magner. It was with Glenn Frisk at the time, and it was all students around here one time, but I'll tell you how that happened, that there was 14 students, all black suits, and I was the only farmer playing with the 14 students. So that's a change. But I'll tell you another one. John Milan, he was the best character there was ever around here. And whenever he wanted a pound, he always taught us something. There was a match against the blacks and the whites. Do you understand me? Above it in the field just beyond Barrow Bridge. But anyway, it was just to make money. So anyway, this fella from South Africa, he was a priest somewhere, and he was looking for a student to see. But he didn't know where he lived, but he lived around Glenfrisk. And he passed through, and up at the gate, the entrance going into the field, was the blacks v. the whites. Do you understand? And he thought they were all colours. There was no colours around that time, do you understand? So he stopped. He thought he was in the right place. But he went in, and he see there were all white faces. But he was looking for for the student, and he asked him what was wrong. So he said there was just a match between the farmers and the students. There was 14, there was complete 15, 14, a full team of students that came around Glenfrisk, Ratmore. It was all open that team until the parish rule came out in 58. In fact, they played football with Glenfrisk up to that. When the parish rule came out in, we all had to go different ways.
All right, Connie, thank you very much. And I just want to go back to Derry briefly again. And we spoke there about the blacks and the whites and all of that. And present-day language, of course. Derry, could we see a coloured person playing for Kerry?
Oh, I think there is no doubt that will happen within the next 10 years, I think, that you will see coloured people playing on the football teams and soccer teams and everything in this country. That is a culture change. It will be a major change, but you must welcome everyone. It is open to everyone, and why not, anyway?
Yeah. Okay, and as Marcia well knows, there's a couple of young coloured young fellas at the moment training with the Dr. Crokes team in Killarney, the under-8s. Isn't that correct? Isn't that correct, Bridie?
Yeah.
And by golly, they can play football as well.
Sure they can. They can. They're brilliant.
Yeah, I know.
They are. They're well able to...
We'd want to get some couple now. Things are going bad by us.
You're a politician, I think, Martin.
This is her father won 4 All-Irelands.
Bridie's father?
No, my wife.
Oh, sorry.
Her father won 4 All-Irelands with Kelly and...
Oh, this lady here?
Yeah.
She's his wife.
Oh, yes. This
1904, 1909, 1913, 14.
That's correct.
That's right, Sean, yes.
You have that memory all the time?
1903, medal all the time.
Have you the medals all the time?
Yeah, yes. That's right.
Great. Well, I'll talk to you again in just a few minutes because we have to take a quick break here. Thank you very much. Now we have Johnny Courtney on the programme. Johnny, I believe, is going to sing a song for us. John, how are you?
Do
you have a song?
I'll sing a song for you.
Yeah.
Now the tears have all been shed now. We've said our last goodbyes. His soul's been blessed, now he's laid to rest, and it's now I feel alone. He was more than just a father, a teacher, my best friend. And he can still be heard in the tunes we've learned and play them on our own. Well, I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Now he may be gone, still life lingers on, and I miss him, the old man. As a boy, he'd take me walking by mountains, fields, and streams, and show me things not known to kings, a secret between him and me. Like the colors of the rainbow as she rises in the dawn,
or how to fish, or to make a wish beside the holy tree. Well, I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Now he may be gone, still life lingers on, and I miss him, the old man. Well, I thought he'd live forever, sure he seemed so big and strong. But the minutes fly and the years roll by for a father and his son. And suddenly when it happened, there was so much left unsaid. No second chance to tell him thanks for everything he's done. Well, I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Now he may be gone, still life lingers on, and I miss him, the old man. I still miss him, my old man. Yes.
Musicians, their consplans. We'll be hearing more from Hedford in just a few minutes' time. Sheila Moynihan of Moynish and Killarney, happy Mother's Day as well to you from Mary, Carolyn and Gillian. It's 9:30, we take a break. Come back once again. This time we join young Brian O'Leary from Kilquan in Hedford. Thank you.
going to join Gerald Doherty for our next song tonight on our show.
I'm dying, said a warrior bold, for my dear native land. I'm dying, gallant comrades, let me grasp each heroic hand. For today at Headford Junction, you proved yourself to be a model of that faithful band who fought for liberty. A flask of holy water in my pocket you will find. It's the only thing I brought from home when I left them all behind. Sprinkle it o'er my body, my spirit shall be free, and tell O'Donnell Allman fell in the fight for liberty. The long South hour has come at last. I dreamt it o'er and o'er. I knew that fate ordained that I should share my country's gore. Your right, stark Rosalina, I love. Your wrongs I vow they rue. I face the throne of mercy now. My duty's done to you. Across the fens Jim Bailey lies, but ere the twilight falls, at heaven's gate they both will wait the dread tribunal's call. That greater love which no man hath will be the angel's plea. They strove to save their fellow men, they died their lands to free. And still the ding of battle rings, my column lads are true. I leave their fate and guidance now to Tommy Mac and you. I'll bid you ne'er to mourn my loss or pause at Allman's name till you have helped to raise the cry a nation once again.
Paddy Healy, is it? How are you?
I'll try on the same line as Gerald, because it's set for Demish again. It was on a summer's morning in the merry month of June. I strolled into an old churchyard to view a silent tomb. I overheard an old man say, as the tears rolled from his eyes, 'twas underneath that cold green sod young DJ Allman lies. Oh, rise up, DJ Allman, arise and tell me true, who went to Headford Junction that day along with you? Who stood upon the platform bold and fired that signal gun? Who fought and died for Ireland's pride? 'Twas you, my darling son. The men who fired that signal shot to heaven now is gone. Many the weary hour and mile we soldiered him along. Piercing cold his body lay in a state of massacre. Because he was a rebel born, he fought for liberty. On the day of Allman's funeral, it was a glory sight. There was 24 clergymen, they were all dressed up in white. The captain's cap and rifle were borne by his side, as the green flag floated overhead, as his comrades marched behind. So to conclude and end my song, I have no more to say. May the Lord of mercy on their souls who fell in the glen today. May God of mercy on their souls who fought for Ireland, who fought and died for Ireland's pride, like DJ Allman died.
Come on. Yeah. Thank you very much there to Charles. Now,
Dan Moynihan, we're coming down to Dan here, so for a minute. Dan, you've got a song prepared, I believe, for us tonight.
Yeah, I'll try it anyway.
Okay, away you go.
I sold a farm to take my woman where she want to be. We left our Kent and all our friends back there in Tennessee. I bought a one-way ticket that I often bought before, and they took us to the streets of Baltimore. Her heart was filled with laughter when she saw those city lights and said the prettiest place on earth was Baltimore at night. Now I'm going back on that same train that brought me here before. Yes, my baby walks the streets of Baltimore. I got myself a factory job. I ran an old machine. I bought a little cottage in the neighborhood, Cherie. But every night when I come home with every muscle sore, she would drag me through the streets of Baltimore. Her heart was filled with laughter when she saw those city lights and said the prettiest place on earth was Baltimore at night. Now I'm going back on that same train that brought me here before. Yes, my baby walks the streets of Baltimore.
Okay. Yes, the streets of Baltimore there. Now, we're going to play some requests. Hello to Josie and Mary Mulvihill, and also Mrs. King, not forgetting Mrs. Lynch out there, and Father Mossy Brick. Request for you, Father, as well tonight, and your own mum, Peggy, and we hope all are well. And this comes in saying, Happy Mother's Day to everyone from Peggy Mac in Tarbert. Now, great to hear Connie Doherty and all of the lads there in Hertford on the airwaves of Radio Kerry tonight. This comes to us from James Morris, who's tuned into our programme as well, and he says that Connie and all the lads are great supporters there of Bus Éireann as well. Now, could you please bear a request for the best mother in the world? Her name is Margaret Tehan from Drumalton, Scartaglen, and she is an amazing lady, it says here. Our stepfather died at Christmas and she kept the family together. Isn't that lovely to hear there? And Tara, we love her very much from Mike and Ted.
Radio Kerry.
How are you?
Thank you. Fine.
Good. Fine. Jim, what have you tonight for us? What song?
The Girl from Mullingar.
The Girl from Mullingar.
Yeah.
In England I first met this girl. She was scarcely 80 years. And I, a wild young sporting youth in my heart, not many fears. I said, Miss, are you from the West Colchimock or Castleberg? Oh no, says she, but I'm proud to be from the town of Mullingar. She instantly appear to me, sure I long to see her more. I knew her heart, it was breaking for the dear old Shamrock Shore. She missed the air so pure and fair and the Irish chanting car. Oh, I bless the day that she came my way, this girl from Mullingar. She winked her eye and she bade a goodbye, sure my heart was filled with pain. Says she, I scarcely know your name, but perhaps we will meet again. Some night in June, neath the golden moon, you will find your lucky star. And I will be in company with my girl from Mullingar. I counted the hours, the days and the nights, until first she came in my view. And as I clasped her tiny hand, my life began anew. She was the joy of an Irish boy who had travelled near and far. Oh, I don't know why, but I'll fight and die for this girl from Mullingar. Now someday soon we are both going back to the land that we adore. In Conspillan's bar we will settle down, in this country we'll tie no more. When there's beef to the hills, the jigs and the reels, the old tap door ajar, and I will be seen in my island of green with my girl from Mullingar.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you. That was Jim Kelly, the man who built Park Road Estate in Killarney, if we can correctly remember.
Okay, I'm going to go to Timmy Doherty. So, Timmy, how are you tonight?
Very fine, I feel.
Tim, have you got a piece for us tonight?
I haven't an awful lot to say to you at all. I have a small little bit of history about this place here. My mother worked here in her young days.
Right, would that be in the bar?
In the bar, of course.
Yes.
Houses about 30 years. And actually, Con's mother was her bridesmaid.
Is that right?
And she got married.
Yes.
Yeah.
And would you have been running around here as a young fella?
Would you? No.
No.
I was in Hitford, all right, when I was 15 or 16, with Gerald's bus. All right, in holidays, like in summer holidays. Mm-hmm. I had good times here, all right.
And of course.
And a lot of the people are related to me here, of course. All right.
Yeah,
indeed. He isn't Doherty's and all that.
Would all the Doherty's be related in this region?
No, nearly would is right, yeah. Some relations, maybe a few more distant out, all right, yeah.
So how are you spending your time now?
Well, I'm still working away. Yeah. I'll be retiring at the end of the year. Maybe we'd have a bit of a sing-song here in November.
I'm sure somebody will throw a party or a retirement party for you.
They're good at that, you know, right?
So is that what you're trying to tell the audience here tonight, not to forget you when you're retired?
Well, that's right, yeah. Yes, no, I have to remind him now, all right, yeah.
You're a good man to, I suppose, grab an opportunity.
No, you're talking, no, you're right, sir.
Are you going to sing a song for me tonight?
Well, they will not, no. They're all you've shot away, sir, to see.
Do you know what we do, so we'll wait until the party night.
All right, sir. Sure.
Chairman Conspillan, we've invaded you again tonight for this programme. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad.
Good. And you've got all your good folk back from Lanzarote.
Well, we invited them anyway.
You mean tell me there's some more of them out there?
No, I don't.
Lint. What does it mean out around here?
Well, it was a good step to Lint anyway tonight.
I see they're all on
coloured water around here.
Keep them on the heavy stuff if we can anyway.
Let's talk about the 29th of this month coming in, because we've been warned about smoking and we can't have the old drag of the cigarette anymore in the pub. What's your reaction to that?
It's probably the tough shit. You can't smoke away outside.
Yeah. You won't tolerate it in
nowhere.
Nowhere.
No.
But if there's a fellow out there smoking, what are you going to do? You're going to ask him actually to leave, are you?
Take the fag off him anyway, I suppose.
I was going to say about the cigars, like, would they come under the same rule?
Same thing.
If not, I'm sure that there's a big fine following all of this.
Yeah. Right, they'll take it, all right.
Will they?
Yeah, will they?
Yeah. All right, then. Lovely talking to you. You're not going to sing a song for us, are you? Thank you very much. And good night to you. Thank you. Okay, yeah. Good night, you know. Thanks.
There you are, a lovely bunch of people there at Consbelaz Bar in Headford. Now, I know that we have Abby Crowley standing by to sing a song as well, but first of all, here's a request. Hannah Christina Welch out there in Castle Island, happy Mother's Day to you. It says here from Morph, Abby Crowley now.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountains high. The summer is gone and all the flowers are dying. It's you, must go and I must buy. But call me back when the summer's in the meadow, until the valley is housed and white with snow. Yes, I'll be there in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love your soul. But if you live, or if you die for Ireland, then let you die, prayers be not for me. You'll come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. But I shall hear how soft you tread above me, and in the warm, no sweet or warm may be. But I shall hear and tell me that you love me, and I shall rest in peace until you come to me.
Thank you very much, Abby Crowley. Thank you. There you are. That was Abby there. Now, so we have no time for no more on the program tonight, in actual fact, because we were running quickly out of time. Now, but in certain recordings throughout our county, we're finding that mobile phones are switched on, you see, and that causes us problems technically, and it's not possible always to put out on air everything that we record for that reason. And I know we had an incident, I think it was down in Clahan, on last Sunday night's programme, so where we had to delete one of the pieces because of a mobile phone problem. And our apologies, of course, for that. Now, we didn't have the mobile phone on ourselves, but it was somebody who was in attendance that night. So if we're recording in any place over the next couple of months, please make sure that you've got your mobile phones turned off, because it really, really causes problems. Now, we leave tonight with a piece of music as well. We have another piece left here. This time we're going over to Michael Collins in country style for this. Our thanks, by the way, to Derry Healy out there, who got the guests together for tonight's programme. And I want to remind you about next Sunday night show. It comes to us from the Tankards Bar in Listowel, and there we have a night of beautiful, beautiful music and songs, so do join us for that. And I was in Brusna during the week.
As the between the stakes, two gentlemen in the van, they play the game fast, hard and fair as the...
Jan Dowling in the van. They play the game fast, hard and fair as the...